How's everybody doing? Well, I see some new faces, so for those who don't know me, my name is Ben. I'm the college pastor, and that was my lovely wife who did some of the announcements, so we're glad to see you. I hope I can meet you guys after the service. So currently, we are in our series on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I believe this is our sixth sermon on Ephesians, and we have a couple more. I should know how many more we have, but I don't. We have a couple more, so bear with us. So I highly encourage you to get out your Bible, get out your smartphone, but read along in the Bible. Get used to flipping pages. If you need one, there's blue ones in the seats in front of you, seat backs in front of you, and I encourage you to do that. So let me do a little recap so far. I'm a big context person. I don't like jumping into anything without giving a little bit of context. So far in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote this letter, this epistle to the book of Ephesians, and he's covered how the church, the people of God, are predestined and called to be the people of God, which is an amazing, mind-blowing thought that before the foundation of the earth, God called people to be his. We're not just called, we're called into a promise, into his purposes, into a destiny, into something amazing, and it's really the reason that we can live is we have a reason to be on this earth. We also learn about the elevated status of Jesus, how Jesus is really the pinnacle, the utmost, the most powerful, that everything centers around Jesus, who Jesus is. We learned, last time I preached, that we are born, we're dead to sin, and we get made alive in Christ. We talk about soteriology and the theology of salvation, which was great. And then we talked about being brought near, how we've been not just forgiven, but now we've been given the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and we've been redeemed and reconciled. And then last week, that the gospel is not just for the Jews. It's for Gentiles like me. Praise God. And that's the reason we're all in this room, because there may be a couple of us that are Jewish, but I don't think I am. But praise God. So today, Ephesians 3, 14, 21. But before I do, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for every person in this room. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be here. I know it already is, but Lord, we just acknowledge you. We love you. We thank you that you speak through your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is powerful for breaking down strongholds, for breaking yokes. And Lord, honestly, we need more you. We need you to show up. Father, each person here has a God-sized problem, Lord, either internally or externally. And unless you show up, Father, we don't have an answer. So we pray that you would show up, you would convict those who need to be convicted, and encourage those who need to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So Paul starts off, he's given you all of this great stuff. He's lectured, he's preached, he's given you so much information. It's hard to fathom. It would take years, lifetimes, to really understand everything that Paul has given us. And this is where he goes. He says, for this reason, I kneel. He gets on his knees before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's a crazy thought. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that's interesting too. He wants us to know a love that surpasses knowledge. Think about that. Uh-huh. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That we would be filled with the fullness of God. That's another crazy thought. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That's crazy too. His power within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When you were a little kid, and I don't know if this is for you, but for me, when I wanted to spend the night at someone else's house, or I wanted somebody to spend the night at my house, they were over, like my friends were over, and I knew, like, if I asked my mom she'd probably say no. But if they asked her, she might say yes. So what we would do is we would like have this idea like, okay, well, we'll just wait. We, you know, won't ask now. You know, call, can your mom pick you up tomorrow if you stay? Like, we'll get everything sorted. You know, we'll get all sorted, and then you got to go ask her. But there came a point when either me or my friend or whoever, both of us together, had to form a little delegation, go to my mom, go to my dad, and ask, okay, can he stay the night, right? And this is what Paul's kind of saying. He's saying, I've laid out this whole plan. This is great, right? That we know who we are in Christ. We know the church. We know that we're made alive, that we're predestined. We're the promises of God. But honestly, at this point, we got to go to God. I got to get on my knees, and I got to pray for you. I got to pray for you. And whenever there's a prayer in the Bible, we can learn a lot of things. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle praying. Like, who in here would just say, you can be bold, this is not a rhetorical question, who would say you're just a prayer warrior? Put your hands up, right? Okay, that's crazy. Honestly, Jim, no. I've been to, you know, prayer meetings on Wednesdays nights here. It's slim. I have to force myself to go to prayer meetings. Small groups, yeah. Bible studies, yeah. You know, pick up basketball all day. Workout, let's go. Prayer meeting? Ooh, you know, I don't know if I really want to go. And so we have to really work hard in this area of prayer. So let's learn about how Paul prays. Let's learn who he prays to, and let's learn who he prays for. Does that sound good? So let's start again in verse 14, and we're going to break it down verse by verse. So Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I remember when I got here 3 years ago and first started as a campus minister, this was my first job in ministry. And, you know, I didn't have the traditional, like, you know, I'm a student, then I intern, then I'm an assistant, then I'm, you know, campus missionary, then I'm a director. I got straight into director. And when I was here, there was about five college students here, and they were all pretty much graduating. And I remember I was going on campus, FSU, FAMU, by myself a lot of times, and I would get some of the young adults, and there was Will Gibson was here, and Shade remembers this, and a couple more who have moved on since then. But we would go, and we'd have these meetings on campus, and sometimes there would be no college students there. It would be only young adults, and we're trying to reach college students. We'd hand out flyers. We'd talk to people. I would do anything I could to meet with these students. And there came a moment where I realized the Lord spoke and said, Ben, you need to pray. You need to pray. And it kind of, I was like, but Lord, I'm doing the work. I'm putting in the work. I'm being so practical. I'm being strategic. I'm really trying hard. He said, Ben, you need to pray because only I can do what I've called you to do. I think this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, we're going to break through, but I've got to go to the Father that every person derives their name from. I've got to go to the highest authority. I've got to go to the top. Because if God doesn't change you, I sure can't change you. Listen, if you haven't figured this out, you cannot change anyone. You can't change anyone. Only Jesus can transform a heart. Only God can transform a heart. And so Paul has dropped probably the three best chapters, some of the three best chapters ever written in history. And he drops to his knees and said, God, please, I'm praying to you. I kneel before you. Because if you don't show up, it's not going to happen. And some people, myself included, we approach life with a very practical, pragmatic frame, which is good. So the Lord is practical. He's very practical, right? If you know, are 600 pounds, prayer is going to help a little bit, but diet and exercise are going to help a lot, right? There's some things that really help practically, right? If you are in debt and you're spending month after month on credit cards, stuff you can't afford, and you're getting a new TV and a new this and a new that, practically, pray all you want, stop spending, right? So God is practical. What you sow, you shall reap. But there are moments when we follow the Lord, when we are the church of God, when we come together, we're going to face obstacles and things that we cannot change, that we cannot fix. And especially in the South here, we get so good at becoming cultural Christians where I go to church, where I even go to small group, where I read my Bible, and then I take care practically of everything in my life, and I forget to get on my knees and pray. And sometimes good practical things will never break through the wall that God has to do through prayer. Through prayer. I got a verse for you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them their sin and I will heal their land. He's saying if they will have better core values at church, if they'll have a better process at work, if they'll have a better Bible reading schedule, if they'll do more classes for people, if there'll be more unity in church, if people will just get along better and less gossip, if people just figure it out themselves, then I'll come heal their land. No. If you pray. Why? Because when we have a divine problem, we need a divine solution, which only comes through prayer. We can't steamroll over everything, and Paul is sharing this with the church in Ephesus. I'm reminded in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit drops and comes on the apostles, and Peter gets up and starts preaching, and 3,000 people get saved, and this mega church starts, and it's wild. It's probably maybe the most fun, exciting time in church's history. And then Herod, this is the grandson of Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa comes. He says, I'm going to squash this right now. He grabs James, the brother of John, one of the original 12 disciples, kills him. The church is in panic. Wait a second. Aren't we in the will of God? Aren't we doing what God's told us to do? We have a great church. We have, you know, good discipleship. We have great, you know, whatever, prayer meetings. We have this, we have that. And they grab Peter, and Peter's now in prison, about to be killed because he's proclaiming Jesus, right? And he's sitting in his jail cell, right? And what does the church do? They gather and they pray. And then boom, an angel comes, busts open the prison, knocks out the Roman soldiers, and Peter walks out of there free. Paul knows this. There's some things in our life, church. There's some things in your life that you can butt your head against and you can do your hardest and be a good steward and do all these things. But honestly, you got to get on your knees and you got to pray. Amen. And you got to pray. And only the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, can break through situations. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. You with power through his Spirit in your inner man. Now, this is very interesting. So Paul is saying this, listen, I don't want to strengthen you in your outer man. I want to strengthen you in your inner man or inner person, inner being. Right? And this has to come through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. And when Paul was saying this, he was actually referencing, I believe, Ezekiel 36, right? So let's go there. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. And this is the prophet, he's prophesying. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep all my laws. So when God was giving this prophecy to Ezekiel, this was unheard of. See, the Jews, they couldn't even access God. They had to go through the high priest who would go into the Holy of Holies, who could only do like one day a year, and he would die a lot of the times. But God is saying, no, one day the Spirit of God will be inside of you. And from the inside out, you will no longer want to sin, right? And I know, like, as a college pastor, I get to disciple a lot of young men, and there's so many times I just want to just punch them in the head and be like, stop sinning. Read your Bible, right? Do better. Just be a better person. Like, literally, do what you're supposed to do. I've had to repent a couple times. I get so mad. I'm just like, just do what you're supposed to do. And reading this, I was so convicted. Because me beating it on the outside is never going to change someone. Yeah. It's got to be the Spirit of God inside someone to change them that makes them not want to sin. Right. That you're no longer a slave of sin. Now you become a slave of righteousness. So Paul understands this. He says, God has the riches of his glory. And I pray that he will strengthen your inner being through his Holy Spirit. And that is going to keep you from sin. That's the transformational power that we're seeking, right? And I grew up in a Christian home. Obviously, my family are in ministry, and I see so many Christian families. This is what they'll do. They'll like, okay, well, they put all these rules on their kids. You can't do this. You have to go to youth group. You can't hang out with that person. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And it's great. Those are good. Those are protective, but they're external, right? And I see some kids that grow up, and there's no internal. They're not slaves of righteousness. Their inner being has not been touched by the Holy Spirit, right? And so if we're not careful, we will go to churches wanting accountability partners, wanting programs to fit our needs, wanting structure to keep us so busy so we can't sin, rather than dropping on our knees and saying, God, if you don't give me the Holy Spirit in my inner being to strengthen me, I will never walk free from sin. Right. And so my prayer today, and Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus and for us, is that your pastor, that you wouldn't have to be locked down with legalism, but that you could be free to be who God's called you to be, and you would not even want to sin. Right. And it's only through dropping on your knees and prayer that this is going to happen. And I was so convicted this week that I started praying for each person that I disciple by name and praying this whole scripture over them, because I realized, God, I can't change them. You have to touch their inner man with your Holy Spirit. And I can help them, I can give them counsel, and I can push them to you, and I can, discipleship does a lot, it does a ton, but there's moments where the Holy Spirit has to move. And so we as a church need to stop praying, help Tom, stop smoking, and help, stop doing this and stop doing that alone. Those are good prayers. But we need to take that a step further. God, strengthen their inner man with your Holy Spirit. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Okay, these are two really cool things. So the first one, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is not, oh yeah, I prayed a prayer at middle school camp. Oh yeah, I think I'm saved. No, Christ dwelling talks about Christ living, being welcomed, that you want him there, that Jesus enjoys spending time with you. There was one time, I probably shared this before, I was driving and I was repenting for some sin I was struggling with. I repented, and the Lord said, Ben, when you do that, I don't like to hang out with you. I don't like to be with you. And it hurt me. I was like, wow. But that change doesn't come just me trying harder. Jesus actually has to give me the power through his faith that he gives me for him to even want to dwell with me. Uh-huh. But that should be my heart posture. I drop on my knees because I need Jesus in my heart. I want to entertain the Holy Spirit. I want him to be with me. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, rooted and established in love. And I love the terminology here. I don't know, has anyone done any yard work at all, ever? Okay, Keenan, yeah. Keenan like this. No, I'm just kidding. Yard work, okay. So have you ever tried to pull up like a tree, And it's hilarious. Some trees are so strong, they'll be like this little tree, like this big, and you're like, okay, Big Daddy Ben's going to pull this sucker. And you go, whoa, and it's like, won't budge. There was like a little oak tree I tried to pull up one time. Could not budge. Right? And so I had to like chop it and dig it out. But he's saying, I want you rooted in love. Good. I want you established, right? Could you imagine trying to like take out this whole church building, like rip it up? It would take some serious work. Why? Because it's established. It's got foundations. So Paul's saying, I pray, not I teach only. I'm going to teach you, but I also pray that you be established and rooted in love. Because unless God establishes you and roots you in love, it ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. And, speaking about Christ dwelling with you, have you ever been to someone's house, where you just like don't feel comfortable? Where you like keep your shoes on and you're like sitting on the couch, just like, hey, oh, yeah, very nice day. How's the weather? You just don't feel comfortable, right? I think sometimes that's how God feels with us, right? Or when I go to mom's house, kick off the shoes, boom. What's up, Mom? Boom. Straight to the fridge every single time. Fridge, pantry, where's the food at? I feel welcome. I feel at home, right? And, you know, I'm 31 now, so it's wearing off. You know, it's, you know, I'm not 17. But that's how we need to, that's how the Holy Spirit needs, I'm here. I've been here. Jesus is in my heart. He's dwelling there. I think about him. I pray to him. I want him. I want him. Yeah, rooted and established in love. It's such great imagery. And honestly, it's this understanding of love that Paul continues to talk about. In verse 18, he says, may they have the power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, from a very young age, I'm sure many of you have heard about God loves you, right? Jesus loves you. I'm forgetting the. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? So everyone's heard that song, right? But that doesn't really mean a lot. Okay, yeah, I kind of grew up thinking, yeah, Jesus loves me, and I kind of deserve to be loved. I'm a good dude. Like, I, you know, like, okay, Jesus loves me. That's great. But the older I've gotten, the more I realized I don't deserve love. I actually deserve hellfire, if I'm being very honest. And I'm very selfish and I'm very mean when I'm left to my own devices. And if you leave me alone, I'm going to gravitate towards selfishness and sin. And I have to have the Spirit of God living within me. And so he's saying, listen, I'm praying that you grasp the love of Christ and know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, the reason he's on his knees praying is because you can read the Bible till you're sick in the face. You can know the Greek, you can know the Hebrew, you can know the Aramaic, you can know Latin. You can write your own translation. But unless Jesus surpasses your knowledge and drops the revelation of his love supernaturally, you are never going to experience this. You're never going to experience this. And there's about four times where I have felt the presence of God reveal his love to me, right? And it wasn't, I studied this, I did this great daily devotional plan, right? I fasted for 42 years and this was what happened. No, it was not me. There was just moments where I felt the Holy Spirit reveal his love for me, and I remember just crying, and I've never been the same since. The first one was when I was 25 years old, when I confessed my sin, I really came clean, and I really truly repented and said, I'm going to change my ways, I'm going to follow Jesus. I remember getting hit by a Mack truck of love. I had never felt it, and I did not deserve it. Oh, I did not deserve it. I thought I'd be stacking chairs in the back of church for the rest of my life. I did. I thought, I've known what's right my whole life, but I've done what's wrong. And I do not deserve any grace or any love. And I felt the love of God, and something changed in my heart. And it wasn't because I just did something better, I tried harder, I got a better routine. It's because Jesus changed me. The second time, I remember I was about 26 years old. I was starting to lead small groups, and I would get up at 4:30 in the morning. I know, radical. I'd get up at 4:30 in the morning so I could read my Bible, I could work out, and I could go to work. And I'd get up, and the Lord led me to Psalms, and I was reading through Psalms. I remember this one morning I was sobbing because I couldn't believe that Jesus died for me and he loved me. And not only that, he knew I needed love and he was touching me the way I needed to be touched. He was packaging his love for me in a Bendu specific way, and I was starting to grasp the depth, the width, the length, and the height of his love. Through the Word of God. It was amazing. Good. The third time, I remember I was in the School of Campus Ministry, and we really broke down the gospel, which is really how amazing Jesus is and really how terrible we are, like in depth. And I remember sobbing in the class. I could not believe that Jesus died for me and that I would have been so long trying to stiff-arm him and trying to earn it myself and do it my own strength. And yeah, thanks for their forgiveness. I'll take it from here, God. But I remember he touched me. And I remember I got a bigger revelation. I grasped it even more. And it was a Holy Spirit moment. It was the God, the King of all riches. It was the Father from whom we all get our names. He strengthened my inner man through his Spirit and the love. I felt it. The reason I preach the gospel, the reason I preach is not because I've read the Bible and I just believe it. It's logical. No, it's because I felt it. I felt it. I know God is real. I know God is real. Romans 8, 35, 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's saying, listen, when you get the love of God, when the Holy Spirit touches you and you feel it, which only comes through the supernatural power of God, through prayer, boom, it changes your life. And there's nothing that can take you from it. In America, we live a very good version of Christianity. There's very little persecution. Very little. You can actually be a cool Christian in our society still, right? You can kind of, you know, there's people that win the Grammys and win Emmys, win Oscars and win titles, and they'll throw Jesus on a prayer. And people applaud them for it, right? But did you know in the early church, out of the 11 disciples, so Judas had, he killed himself, but out of the 11 disciples, 10 of them were martyred, put to death for Jesus. Why would you ever die for something? It's when a love that's greater than knowledge surpasses your knowledge, hits your heart, and you realize the love of Jesus, you'll be willing to die for it. And there's a quote. It says, the reason the church is still here today is not because the checkbooks of millionaires, but because of the blood of the martyrs.
That's right.
The people die for this. But it's not even me preaching. I can't convince you of this. I'm going to pray first at the end because it's only God that can do this. But hopefully the word coming out is prepping your hearts that some people in here have got this locked down. Some people, you're going to receive it today. This love, you're going to feel it today, and it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit told me that this morning, that there's some people that have been yearning to feel the love of God that have never felt it, that are going to feel it this morning. And I'm so excited. But that's why people will die for this, because they get touched with a love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Right? That's where you can go through persecution. You can be ridiculed. You can be different. Right? In us in America, we just have to kind of tell our friends about it, stop sinning, and pray a lot and read our Bible. Like, it's very easy to be a Christian in America. Mm-hmm. In every nation, we're part of a family, a worldwide family of churches. We have brothers and sisters in China that are getting prepped right now to take the gospel into Central Asia, to Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkestan, where it is illegal, and many of them will be martyred.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to pray like that, though. We need to pray for people. Are you praying for your kids like this? Are you getting on your knees for your coworkers? Are you getting on your knees for people, you know, in your life? Are you really praying? Are you just trying to guilt people to coming to church or live better or do these things? Or are you on your knees saying, God, God of all glory, by the riches of your glory, please touch these people, strengthen them in their inner man. And Lord, please, Holy Spirit, you've got to surpass their knowledge. You've got to hit them with your love. Because if you don't, if they don't grasp how wide, how long, how deep this thing is, they will never commit. And once they grasp it, they will be on fire for God their whole life.
Good.
We're praying for people. This week, I'm not going to lie, I've been praying for myself. God, fill me up. I need this, please. I don't need another devotion. I need you. That you may be filled, this is the end of verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Of all the fullness of God. And this is what the world needs. The world needs to see Christians that have the measure of the fullness of God. They need to see people that are radically changed. I can't even fathom what that means to live a life where at moments people see the fullness of God. I've experienced this only a couple times in my own life. I've seen it on my dad, on Pastor Ron. I mean, I saw it this morning in worship. That was not them worshiping. There was something, the fullness of God was worshiping. It was powerful. There was one time I was in New Orleans. And New Orleans is very demonic. It's got a lot of witches and witch doctors and voodoo, and it's kind of a stronghold there. And I remember one time I was walking, if you've ever been there, through the French Quarter with some of my friends. I was living in Houston, so we drove from Houston to New Orleans. We were walking through. We were on like a food tour. It was awesome. Great. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable food. And we were walking through by the big cathedral in the French Quarter. There's like a square. And I remember there's a group of witches, three or four witches walking towards our group. And it was, I'm not trying to brag, but they looked at me and they turned around. And the Holy Spirit said, "Ben, I got you." They saw me. And I was like, wow, that's the fullness of God. And it was crazy. There's been a couple moments like that in my life where God will tell me something about someone else, or I'll pray for someone who's sick and they'll get healed. Or there'll be some craziness in my life and then the power of God will just come through. I'll just have faith that it's not me, that this positivity, this joy is not me, but it's the fullness of God and I want more of it. I'm not perfect. I'm in the same boat as you guys. I know you experience it too, but this is what the church is supposed to be. And so Paul says, I'm going to stop preaching for a second. I'm going to drop to my knees. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Be filled with the fullness of God. And you got to ask yourself today, are you praying? Are you praying for people? Who are you praying for? How are you praying? Right? Are you standing for people? Are you trying to just modify behavior in your own life and around you? Are you praying? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to change you? And are you filled with the fullness of God? Right? Are you like me where there's moments, wow, that was a great moment, Ben. Whoa, there was no God in that moment. Right? Because that doesn't come from, oh yeah, I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to drop my knees. Jesus, I need you. I need the fullness of God. Do we pray for each other to be filled with the fullness of God? And I think this is what's amazing is Paul's not just praying for himself. He's praying for this church that he doesn't know very well. But I can just see him dropping on his knees, literally where he's at, and praying these passionate prayers for these people he hardly knows. And that's the heart we need to have. Are we praying for people? Are we going to God? Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be the glory and in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so he wraps up this prayer. He's saying, listen, he's just bragging on God. He is amazing. He's wonderful. I can't even imagine. It's immeasurable. He can do more than we can ever ask or think. You know when you pray to God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, he does, and he just does so many amazing things. When you pray, when you get on your knees and pray, God meets you there, and he says it's his power that is at work within us. One more question. Whose power is at work within you? Is it your power? Is it your family's power? Is it your culture's power? Whose power is at work within you? Because to do what God has called you to do and to do what God has called us to do, we have to have the power of God. Because each one of you has a destiny, a purpose, a calling that is much greater than your own ability. And you are never going to make it. You know what? I'm going to say this. Even as a Christian, the amount of spiritual warfare that you are going to go under, you're not going to make it unless you have the power of God working in you.
Right.
I'm not trying to put fear. This should be the best news ever, right? Someone asked me the other day, he said, you know, do I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, well, it's like me saying, hey, you can have $1 million. You don't have to take it, right? But you get it, right? And the great thing is that Christians don't have to be battered down by spiritual warfare, that we actually can be victorious and overcome when we drop to our knees and pray.
Amen.
When we drop to our knees and pray. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So who do we pray to? How do we pray? And who do we pray for? It's my last scripture for you today. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is also Paul. He's saying, I'm dead. My flesh is dead. I've been put to death with Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but it's Jesus that lives within me. He's saying, I'm living out this prayer. I'm praying for you. And it's because he loved me and gave himself for me. And the love of God only comes through divine revelation. And many times it comes through preaching the word. That's why we preach every Sunday. It's because when the word of God goes forth, faith can arise.
Right.
And divine revelation can surpass knowledge. And there's some people in here that are going to get touched today. And so I really want to spend some time here, but I'm actually going to, it's going to be a little bit weird, but that's okay. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray for you guys. And I'm going to pray Ephesians 3:14, 21, and I'm going to just pray the words out for you. And if you want to accept, you're already probably feeling this in your heart, I just want you to, under your breath, you don't have to come up the front, you can if you want, but just sit there. And I want you to just say, Lord, I think I might be a cultural Christian. I don't think I've felt this love that surpasses knowledge. I don't think I've grasped how high, how long, how wide, how deep. I don't think my inner being has been totally strengthened by the Spirit of God. I think I've been doing it on my own strength. And I'm just believing that God is going to meet you right where you are, and he is going to fill you and give you that love. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, I thank you that you are the Father from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches you may strengthen myself and this church, every person in here, with power through your Holy Spirit in their inner person, in their inner being, so that you, Jesus, may dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love may have the power together with the whole church and all God's holy people, Lord, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Lord, that you may fill us with a measure of the fullness of God. And Lord, you are able to do immeasurably more all we can ask or imagine according to the power that is in work within us. And Lord, to you be the glory in our church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Lord, I thank you for this prayer. Father, I pray you would just meet us right here. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, if you don't come and touch our hearts and give us this divine revelation of your love and give us strength in our inner man, Lord, we are not going to make it. And so, Father, for everyone here who's identifying with this word, Father, I pray that you would touch them right now and that you would deposit just your love. I pray that people would start feeling the manifest love of God. And Lord, I pray that even from this day on in this church, Father, that this would be a church that grasps the love of God. Father, that we are so enraptured and captured, and just we can't even think about anything else except for how much God loves me. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that we don't need anything else in this world except for you. Father, help us lose sight of all the things that we hold dear and important and look to you. Father, I pray that you would just do surgery right now on people's hearts and their spirits, Father. Lord, I thank you that you are just an amazing God. I thank you so much that you died on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're going to continue in prayer. If there's anyone here who hasn't felt the love of God, and maybe you haven't felt it because you've never repented and made Jesus Lord of your life. And to experience love, you have to first submit. And Jesus demonstrates his love before we submit, but sometimes we don't feel it fully until we give up and say, Lord, I want your love on your terms, and I want to worship you for who you are. So I'm going to give an opportunity. If you feel like, you know what, maybe I've been playing games, maybe I don't even know if I'm saved. If I died tonight, I don't know where I'd go. So I want to pray for you. Lord, if there's anyone who identify with that, Father, I pray that you would just touch them right now and that you would give them the strength to repent and make you the Lord of their life. If that was you, I just want you to repeat under your breath, just say, Jesus, I repent. I repent for playing church. I repent for being the Lord of my life. I repent for following my agenda only. Lord, today I'm bowing the knee. I'm getting on my knees and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to touch me. I need you to save me. Jesus, I thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Lord, I receive the gift of salvation through grace, through faith. Lord, give me the faith to receive it and to live the life that would be worthy of the call of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, thank you for everyone today. I pray you bless us. I pray you be with us. And I pray that your love would capture us and we would grasp it this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you need prayer today, our prayer team's going to come on up. But honestly, I really highly encourage you, take time this week to spend time with God. Not a devotional, not a book, but sit down with your eyes closed and say, God, I need you. I need you. I want you. Don't pray religious prayer. Pray heart prayers. I need you. I love you. I want you. Lord, maybe I don't love you, but I know I need to love you. But that's really, this sermon, please, it's just the only point I'm preaching this is to make you go to God. Please go to God and just say, God, I need you. So be blessed. Get prayer.